Hello, my friends, and welcome to another moment of Black History Moments with Bo. And as we steamroll into this 13th season, I hope you are doing fine and you are hanging with me, because our goal is 365 stories, 365 legacies, 365 tiny bits of knowledge. And we're not going to stop there. That is just our immediate goal. You know, I've learned over a lifetime that there is absolutely nothing that you cannot do or cannot accomplish if you are determined. It is very easy to give up in the race, but it's tough to stay in the race. And we all know that the people that are in your circle aren't necessarily in the race with you. Some of our people, even our friends and family members, are content where they are. And sometimes those are the people that you just have to let go. I'm not saying not love, but just let go. Sometimes you don't need to hear their excuses or what they have to say for themselves, because their actions already spoke. So today we're going to talk about a lady that would not let go. She would not give up. She stayed in the race. She knew what she wanted, and she went and got it. At the southwest corner of Western Avenue and 31st Street sits a four-story apartment complex with an external yet clustered structure. If you glance once, you might miss it, but if you inspect closely at the corner, you'll find a small feature that vaguely plays tribute to the first Fatburger, a Los Angeles fast food institution. In fact, this is the original location of the first Fatburger ever. The story of the Fatburger is a windy, inspirational tale that highlights Black entrepreneurship in South Los Angeles throughout the middle to the late 20th century. In 1947, Lovey Yancey opened a burger stand called Mr. Fatburger with her partner Charles Suitcase Simpson. Yancey, according to Fatburger's oral history, made delicious hamburgers in her home kitchen, and Simpson had a knack for businesses and building as a construction worker by day. Simpson used leftover materials from his job, and with the help of his co-workers, built a three-stool walk-up burger stand. They called it Mr. Fatburger because Yancey thought the name was the perfect description for her big made-to-order and customizable burgers that were the epitome of the jazz slang word fat, which didn't just describe something as large, but also deluxe. In those first few years, Lovey and an assistant would work the daytime shift while Charles and his sister took over the night shift after a day of working his construction job. In fact, Yancey worked as many as 18 hours a day during the first decade of Mr. Fatburger. According to the West Adams Heritage Association, the hamburger stand started with daytime business hours, but extended to a 24-hour operation to capitalize on the revolving door of employees who worked a day and night shifts at nearby manufacturing sites amid a booming post-war economy. The Western Avenue location of the original Fatburger sat on the edge of a bustling Black neighborhood, Jefferson Park, West Adams, and Lamart Park, standing in proximity to the high-profile jazz clubs, including Club Oasis, California Club, and the Tiki Room. But you know, despite the rapid success of Mr. Fatburger, Yancey and Simpson dissolved their relationship, and Yancey brought Simpson's stake in the original stand on Western Avenue in 1952. After the separation, Yancey dropped Mr. from the Fatburger and set out to operate it independently. Yancey continued to find success with the original location. Her humble welcoming stand stood in contrast to other establishments in L.A. in a racially segregated era of Los Angeles. She continued to operate it 24 hours, 7 days a week, and expanded the footprint of the original stand to accommodate demands. Throughout the 50s and early 60s, Fatburger gained notoriety when black entertainers Ray Charles, James Brown, and Red Fox stood among her customers, waiting to expand her Fatburger's footprint in L.A. Lovey found a former hot dog stand near Beverly Hills and opened her second location in 1973. Now being closer to the homes of her celebrity clients, it wasn't unusual to see the parking lot filled with limos or to see Johnny Carson or Elizabeth Taylor grabbing a Fatburger after an award show, though only being able to seat about 12 customers. Yancey started selling franchises of the Last Great Hamburger Stand in 1981. And according to the International Directory of Company Histories, by 1985, there were 32 locations total, four of which were company-owned, and Fatburger was named number 5 fastest-growing burger franchise by Entrepreneur magazine. "I don't worry about McDonald's, Burger King, or Wendy's," Yancey said during an interview with the Wave newspaper in 1985. "They may be more popular, but a good burger sells itself, and I don't think anybody makes a good hamburger as well as we do." The good hamburgers soon attracted an investment group led by Island Record founder Chris Blackwell that bought Fatburger from Lovey Yancey in 1990 and formed the Fatburger Corporation. Yancey retained ownership of the original stand, which her daughter Gwen ran for several years. As far as tenacity, the apple did not fall far from the tree. Apart from being a restaurateur, Gwen was also an actress. She was a regular on MASH and the first female boxing referee to arbitrate a world title fight. The newly formed Fatburger Corporation focused on expanding and opened locations shortly after in Las Vegas, and by the end of 1997 had 29 locations with an ambitious plan of growing to 250 locations within 5 years. But that zealous expansion didn't materialize, and Fatburger came close to being purchased by Restaurant Teams International in 1999. However, that sale was not complete a year later. So in October 2001, Lakers great Magic Johnson, in partnership with GE Capital Franchise Finances, bought the franchise with a more modest expansion plan. This plan to have 100 new locations, with 80% of them being franchises, within the next 5 years, in markets where Johnson's Development Corporation already had established presence in New York, Colorado, Texas, and Georgia. Magic's involvement drew a great interest in the chain, but his time with the company was short-lived as he sold the majority of his interest in the chain in 2003. This was mainly due to the slow rollout of their expansion, with only 3 new restaurants added during Magic's tenure. During this time, the original Fatburger stand on Western Avenue shuttered but was retained by Yancey's daughter. Fog Cutter Capital Group provided an investment group led by President Keith Warlick. The financing needed to acquire a controlling interest in 2003. Warlick led the campaign to take the company national and opened stores in Florida, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Louisiana, and New Jersey by 2004, and continued to grow, taking the brand international by opening the first franchise in Canada in 2005 and opening the first location inside a sports stadium in 2008. In the early 2000s, Gwen listed the original Fatburger site for sale. A total of 35,375 square feet for $4.3 million. Evinsco and Investment and Company, the broker representing Gwen, pushed to sell the property to a real estate developer because of the site's proximity to LA Metro's planned light rail station at Exposition Boulevard. Because the site was never designated as a historic landmark, the original burger stand had no refuge against demolition. The Los Angeles Conservancy in 2005 reached out to the Fatburger Corporation to purchase the property, but the corporation wasn't interested and did not believe Fatburger would perform well in the neighborhood. But a residential site would help Yancey's family maximize their profits from the sale. In 2009, Evinsco announced the dilapidated Fatburger sold in the summer of 2009 for $3 million, under the condition that the original Fatburger stand would be rehabilitated and incorporated into the development. Mercy Housing, the developer that brought the property, planned a four-story, 61-unit low-income apartment on the former Fatburger site. The developers physically moved the former hamburger stand from the middle of the property to the southwest corner of the lot during its early construction phase. Rehabilitating the exterior in the process, the housing development opened in 2014, unveiling the compromise of the sale. Today, the Jefferson Park Terrace towers over Western Avenue, and a vague representation of the former Fatburger Shack is shoehorned in its shadow. And an even smaller plaque recognizes Yancey's incredible impact in South Los Angeles and the greater Los Angeles burger culture. Lovey Yancey died in 2008, 1 year before the sale was finalized, at the age of 96. Her legacy went beyond her Fatburger restaurants. In 1986, after losing her grandson to sickle cell anemia, she created a $1.7 million endowment at City of Hope Hospital in his honor. The chain has also been name-checked in rap songs like Notorious B.I.G.'s Going Back to Cali and Ice Cube's It Was a Good Day. Fatburger is currently owned by Fat Brands, which has rapidly expanded its footprint. But despite now having over 180 locations around the world, it is still very much an LA institution. Of the 54 locations in California, over 20 of them can be found in and around LA area. So the next time you're sitting down enjoying some fat fries or trying to get your picture on the wall by taking on the Triple X Challenge, make sure to pay your respects to Lovey Yancey, who deserves a place among the legends of fast food restaurants that originated in Southern California. So there it is, my friends, the story of the original Fatburger, and also the story of one Lovey Louise Yancey, the lady that would not give up The lady that worked 18 hours a day sometimes to make her dreams come true. This should not just be a history lesson. This should be a motivation lesson. Most things don't happen to people just overnight. It takes time. It takes determination, as well as perseverance. So rest in peace, my sister, because your story is now being told, just as it should have been told years ago. Well, my friends, that music tells me that it is once more that time. But before I go, I gotta tell you this. Your best stories will come from your struggles. The seeds of your success are in your failures. Your praises will be birthed from your pains. Stay focused. Remember your faith and keep pushing, because I have never seen a storm last forever. Have a great day, my friends. Until next time, it has been my total pleasure. Peace to my ancestors and my elders, for I walk in your strength, legacy, and power today and every day.